This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Sikhs are members of a 500-year-old religion that celebrates peace, equality, and social justice. But there are many times when Sikhs are targeted by anti-Muslim nuts. There was a mass shooting at a Sikh temple at Oak Creek, Wisconsin in 2012. Seven people died, including the shooter that day. It doesn't make any more or less wrong or even more ridiculous that the shooter thought he was targeting Muslims. I mean, hate is hate. Nevertheless, Sikhs are trying to educate people about who they are, who their religion is, and what their philosophy is. There's an exhibit now on Sikhs at the Institute of Texan Cultures. So what questions do you have about this religion that's part of the San Antonio community? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet us at tprsource. We're joined this afternoon by Simranjeet Singh. He is a professor of religion at Trinity University. He has written widely about Sikhism and the religious tolerance in general for the New York Times, Washington Post, and other major newspapers. We're also joined by James Benavides. He is the spokesperson for the Institute of Texan Cultures. And welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Good to see you again, Dave.
Thank you for having us.
Let me ask you, Simran, about Sikh religion. Tell me about the overall philosophy. How do you introduce your elevator pitch for your religion?
Sure. I'd say the two foundations for the Sikh religion are the beliefs in oneness and love. There's a belief in one God who is the creator that lives within the creation. And the way that we express our appreciation for God and celebrate God is through love and service. And that's service for the creation, for the world, and it's service for everybody who lives within the creation, for all people.
And part of being a member of this Sikh religion is adopting, I know there are five major items that you have to have. What is that?
That's right. We maintain five articles of faith. It gives us a distinct identity. And to a Sikh, that represents a commitment to the values of the faith. It represents a commitment to love, to service, to justice, to tolerance. And so it's very interesting to me. On the one hand, for me, these articles of faith represent values that we share with all Americans here. On the other hand, when Americans see a Sikh, many times they interpret that distinct appearance.
That's because of the uncut hair, which is the beard, long beard, and a turban.
That's right. That's right. Part of the Sikh identity is to maintain uncut hair and to wear a turban. And so many people who see this in modern America, not knowing who Sikhs are, conflate that with their idea of what a terrorist looks like. And so hate violence, racism, bigotry are an important part of the Sikh American experience.
And this has happened to you. I mean, you're running the New York Marathon?
That's right. It happened to me while I was running the New York City Marathon. It happened to me at moments when I was growing up as a Sikh here in America.
Here in San Antonio?
I was here in San Antonio when 9/11 happened, and immediately in the aftermath, there was hate violence that occurred all over the country. The first casualty of a hate crime after 9/11 was a Sikh American in Mesa, Arizona. And since that moment, the community, the Sikh community, as well as many other minority communities here in America, have been on high alert, watching out for hate crimes against their own, against themselves, and as against their children as well.
And what happened to you during the New York Marathon?
A few things happened to me, the most interesting of which was a few kids started chasing me and throwing rocks at me and yelling racial slurs. So that happened. On the other hand, I also received lots of positive feedback, you know, people saying, you know, go Sikhs, go Singh, my last name, which is common for all Sikhs. And so, you know, with the bad comes the good, and that's an important part of my experience as well.
Over at the Institute of Texan Cultures, James, what are you all offering?
Well, we're currently offering Sikhs Legacy of the Punjab. We worked with the Sikh community with Simran's father, GP, who's often credited as the first turban-wearing Sikh in San Antonio.
He was a pioneer.
Pioneer of sorts, yes, sir. So he had been in touch with the Smithsonian. You know, this was shortly after the Oak Creek incident, and Smithsonian had developed a Sikh exhibit, you know, on a national level. And we started laying the groundwork to bring this exhibit to San Antonio. If you're going to combat hatred. Well, look at the root of that hatred. It comes from fear, comes from ignorance, comes from stereotyping, shortcuts, and so on. So if you're going to combat that ignorance, knowledge is going to be the weapon of choice. So we want to teach. We want to tell you what Sikhs are. We bring Sikh's legacy of the Punjab from the Smithsonian to San Antonio, and now we have a number of opportunities to really study on the history and the tradition, the defining items of the Sikh culture. In fact, we have a free Saturday coming up where we're going to be celebrating Sikh culture in Texas.
That's this Saturday.
That is this Saturday, Dave.
Mm-hmm. So people can go to the institute and they can see this. There's no charge for admission?
Correct. You know, the first half of the day, we've got a class for Girl Scouts, and that's, you know, pretty much taken care of there. But at noon, we're opening it up to everybody. The Sikh culture, Sikh community will be there. We'll have dance. You can learn to write your name in Gurmukhi script, the which we use to write the Sikh language. There are a number of other activities associated to really get to know our neighbors.
And so, Simran, what's in this exhibit? What do we see?
There's quite a bit in the exhibit. It tells the story of the Sikh community from its founding about 500 years ago.
And so there are artifacts from that?
There are artifacts from Punjab, the homeland of the Sikhs, which is in current northwestern India. There are artifacts from the early Sikh American experience. The first Sikh Americans came to this country a little over 100 years ago. And there are artifacts from the first Texans who came, the first Sikh Texans who came about 1920s, started out in El Paso, and then slowly made their way east. And so, yeah, there are quite a few different artifacts about the Sikh American experience.
And what is there one particular one that you're drawn to that you think is critical that people should take a close look at?
You know, my favorite piece in the exhibit is are some letters from a gentleman from El Paso.
Like a correspondence.
That's right. And he is one of the first Sikhs to settle in El Paso. He had come from California. And his family actually didn't know much about the Sikh tradition. It wasn't transmitted along. And so we had set a group of people in field work to do research. They came across this man among many other families. They learned his story about his descent from Punjab, how he ended up in El Paso. And they reconnected him with his roots. In fact, the letters were written in Gurmukhi, and he couldn't read them himself. And so we had translators that essentially helped him understand.
So you're reconnecting someone with their own Sikh story.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
That's fascinating. Our phone lines are open. If you've got a question or a comment about Sikh religion here in San Antonio, across the world, call in. The number is 210-614-8980. You can email us at thesource@tpr.org. We'll be back in 1 minute. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the Sikh religion. There's an exhibit at the Institute of Texan Culture that talks about the story of the immigration of Sikh religion to the United States and also here in Texas. With me in the studio to talk about this, James Benavides. He is a spokesperson for the Institute, and also is Simranjeet Singh. He is a professor of religion at Trinity University. He's written widely about religious tolerance and about Sikhism. And one of the big things about the religion is is it a religion or is it an ethnic minority?
It's a religion. It's a, you know, it has its own scripture, its own prophethood, its own ritual practice, its own ceremony. So it, you know, in terms of what we think about religion, it makes up the world's fifth largest. It's, you know.
Yeah, but there are people who do argue that it is also an ethnic minority. And should have its own category on the U.S. Census.
That's right. And, you know, that gets into issues about approaches to identity politics. And what we can say is the region from which Sikhism emerges, we can refer to that Punjab as sort of creating its own ethnic minority, the Punjabis, whereas Sikhs are a a religious group that come from that same region. So most Sikhs are Punjabis, in fact, from that ethnicity.
Okay, and James?
Well, you know, Dave, we have a similar concept. If you study the exhibit floor there at the Institute of Texan Cultures, religion is a very big defining element of culture, and sometimes it transcends culture. You have practitioners of Judaism in the United States. You have practitioners of Judaism in Israel. We have a section on the Jewish Texans. It's really a religious practice that transcends culture. Yes, it's a defining element. It defines some of the customs, some of the traditions of a people, but this religion is still, it's a very important item, but it is a sort of distinct, separate item.
But so the Sikh religion does have a large legacy, a history of military involvement or practice, or tell me about that.
Sure. Well, you know, going back to the belief in service and justice, the idea has always been for Sikhs that we believe we have a moral responsibility to stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves and to stand up against oppression. And that has manifested itself in many different ways over time. And one of those ways has been through military service. Sikhs have been a large part of different military units, including within the colonial empire, within the Indian Army, and today throughout the world in many different armies. One of the paradoxes for us here in the U.S. is that no longer can a Sikh serve freely in the U.S. military with his turban and beard. The U.S. military has implemented a ban, a presumptive ban, against anybody who has articles of faith like that.
But there have been, I know I've read about exceptions to that. How frequently are those exceptions granted?
That's right. We have received a few exceptions. There are three currently in place. Each of the three individuals who have received exceptions have done quite well. They've been promoted. They've received awards. They've served in Afghanistan in battle. And so the exceptions are proving to be good cases that show that, you know, a Sikh can serve just as well as anybody else in the U.S. military.
What is the justification for not allowing Sikhs to serve in the military with their turbans and full beards?
You know, there are a few arguments that have been given. One is a question about uniformity.
You go into, like, Afghanistan and you try to meet with tribal elders, they don't take anyone serious who doesn't have a beard on. You're not a grown man unless you have a beard.
Well, in fact, one of the... the individuals who is serving with the Army, he served in Afghanistan. He's an ER doctor. And he was telling me stories about how he would serve as the liaison between the military and the local community there because he could speak the language, he could relate to the people, and they respected him for who he was. And so, yeah, you're right. These things actually serve as advantages in many senses.
And this ban is an implement towards actually mission achieving the mission.
That's right. And you know, what I find really upsetting about this, the military's ban, is that, you know, the military is the largest employer in the entire world. It's sanctioned by the U.S. government. So essentially, the largest employer in the world is telling the rest of the world that we can discriminate against who we hire or don't hire. And that sends the message to everybody else that, okay, we can do the same thing. The government is telling us it's okay. The largest employer is saying it's okay. So it's essentially a workplace discrimination issue more than anything else.
Our phone lines are open. If you want to ask a question or make a comment about Sikhism, the number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. James, the exhibit, do y'all look at the military service?
Certainly. We definitely start off in those colonial eras. We've seen some history about when the Sikhs became, you know, something of the ruling family of the Punjab, the era of the Maharaja and the Rajputs, and, you know, how they started to create this court. And from parts of the world, they would bring in experts. In fact, they brought in strategists, generals, from Europe, from the U.S., to teach their army, to train their army. And so we hear about the colonial era, then you start getting into World War One, and just the might of the Sikh warriors, just phenomenal. And then we start getting into the stories of World War II, modern service, modern even into Afghanistan. In fact, there is a picture of a gravestone that has the Sikh Khanda, the emblem of the religion, I believe in Arlington Cemetery, and that was the first case of this ever being discussed. So Sikhs are serving in our armed forces. It's a wonderful story to hear. It's like Simran said, the spiritual attainment and social justice go hand in hand for the Sikhs, and that means standing up for the oppressed. That means military service.
Simran, what does it mean to you to go to the Institute and see this exhibit on display?
Oh, it's incredible. There have only been a couple of similar exhibits in this entire country. And growing up in San Antonio, I find myself constantly having to explain who I am, what I practice, why I look the way that I look. And, you know, that's a hard task for a 12-year-old, 15-year-old kid. And so to think about my nieces and nephews here in the city, who are growing up in an environment that is becoming increasingly educated about minority communities, and to think that they may not be bullied as much, or that, you know, they might be more safe in their neighborhoods and less likely to be targeted in a hate crime. I mean, that means the world to me. That's exactly why we're doing what we're doing.
Or to have your nieces and nephews that go to the Institute and they see the big part of their identity being on display and showing respect, and it has to be affirming.
That's right. It shows them that they have something to be proud of, that what makes them unique is actually something that's special and positive, as opposed to something that they should be ashamed of. You know, they look on the wall in the exhibit and they see the CEO of MasterCard is a Sikh, or the father of fiber optics, or, you know, other such figures. And they can see a future for themselves as a Sikh and as an American.
Let's go to the phone lines. Number is 210-614-8980. Teresa has called in. Teresa, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes. He's spent a lot of time addressing men and the dress and role of men. I was wanting to know about the attire of the women in this religion and their role in the religion. Right. And I will take my answer off the air.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Go ahead.
Teresa, thank you. That's a great question. I'm glad you asked. I'll say a few things. The first is, in the Sikh tradition, the theological principle is that everyone is equal, men and women alike, and that God is equally present in everybody. So there's no gender discrimination in our tradition. And there are many institutions that have been put into place to assure that, including the idea that all men have the same last name, Singh, and all women have the same last name, Kaur. And this is to represent a shared royal lineage for both sides and a sovereignty at the same time.
So, but men and women are totally equal.
That's right. Men and women are totally equal. Women have the same place in the religion and enjoy all the same opportunities that the men do. So there's no distinction in the religion for men's roles or women's roles. Everybody has the same role.
But and the women, do they have any particular garb that they have to wear?
So women are expected to maintain the five articles of faith just as men are. For women, the turban has become optional. So women maintain uncut hair. They don't cut their hair. And some women wear turbans and some choose not to.
Okay, back to the phone lines. Carol is called in. And Carol, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. My question is, do the Sikhs ever marry outside of their religion? And is it possible, do you have to be born into a Sikh family to be a Sikh, or can you convert?
Great questions, Carol. Thanks for calling
and
I'll in.
I'll take the answer off the air, okay?
Awesome. So, Singram?
Great. The question about being born into the religion, I'll answer that one first. In the Sikh religion, our belief is that one does not have to be Sikh in order to attain God. And so there isn't a sense of, you know, you must be Sikh. There's no sense of missionizing. There's no history of proselytizing. And so people can convert if they choose to, but there's no emphasis or expectation placed on that. With the second question, and I'll let James talk a little bit about what he's found in his field work, but just a quick response is that Sikhs are encouraged to marry within the tradition, but there are many who don't. And it's a similar phenomenon we see in other religious communities, especially in a globalizing world, as people are interacting with people of different communities, we're seeing more and more interfaith partnerships.
James?
And as to, are you born into a Sikh family? Can you marry into a Sikh family? What religion, what religious traditions would be observed in a family were the religions to mix? We see this a lot in the early days of Sikhs in the United States. In particular, the stories that we have at the Institute are about families around El Paso, of course, in the Sikhs first coming to Texas. And this, the exclusionary laws of the time are in place for the most part, and it's prohibitive and expensive. If
these are laws that limited immigration.
Correct. So it would have been very difficult for a Punjabi man, a Sikh, to bring his wife, his prospective bride, to the States.
So we saw a lot of intermarriage locally.
Correct. In many cases, I guess you could say in a racial sense, the Sikh was often considered compatible with the Mexican-American woman. In fact, in El Paso, this is a this had been very common. Singh had become a particularly common last name over time. And in fact, you can still find a number of Singh families there in El Paso. One of the popular fruit companies is Sikh produce, Singh produce.
And thus they became part of the great Texas story.
There you have it.
All right. I want to thank both of our guests, James Benavides, over at the Institute of Texan Cultures. You have your free event this weekend, Saturday afternoon. Go check it out. And Simranjeet Singh, he's a professor of religion at Trinity University. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, David.
More Source when we come back after the NPR news break. Stay tuned.